Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
The biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars. Joining me now, we've got Eric Taussig. He is the CEO and founder at Prialto. Thanks for stopping by and joining us from Portland.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you could just tell our viewers and listeners right away, what is Prialto?
Prialto is a remote assistant company. People call them virtual assistant companies, serving entrepreneurs, executives, small businesses with service basically curated from Portland, Oregon, and service provided from around the world in Central America and Southeast Asia.
And who is this for? Because obviously there's that point in your business where in order to take it to the next level, you need help. But obviously you don't want to do that too soon when maybe you don't have profit coming in yet. So how do you determine when is the right time to take on virtual assistants like these?
Yeah, I mean, you have to have a real business, obviously. You have to have a business where you're starting to get into routines where you have playbooks. I call them playbooks or workflows that you can delegate. And if you have that, it's pretty a simple calculation. If your time is worth $300-$400 an hour and you can take work that a $24 an hour person can do and delegate it, that's what you should be doing.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say basically anything that only you can do, certainly do it. But everything else and anything that someone else could do, delegate it. Because like you said, time is money and you could be focusing on what you're really, really good at and delegate the rest.
Absolutely.
So tell me about how you started this business.
Yeah. So I love connecting people, love helping people. I've worked a lot cross-border in my life. So I also like the challenges and opportunities of working cross-culture. I was looking for a business idea. My wife was managing a back office team from Silicon Valley. The team was in the Philippines. Started to see the capabilities of those people and thought, hey, I can bring the abilities that she was building out inside a large NASDAQ listed company and provide those capabilities to smaller businesses.
So the virtual assistants that you work with, are they mostly overseas?
Yeah, so our assistants work in our wholly managed service centers in Southeast Asia, in Manila, and in Central America, Guatemala City. And we're looking to open two more centers in the next 24 months.
And obviously there are some outsourcing sites where you can get virtual assistants, but tell me about the benefit of working with your business. And I'm sure that you have more of a vetting process to make sure that they're working with the right virtual assistants. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, the vetting process is a small percent of the overall value. We're a managed service. So anyone that's done outsourcing before knows that it can be really painful. The challenges of articulating what you need done is painful enough if you're articulating that to a junior person at the desk next to you in your office, let alone out of your office or overseas. You don't want to have to be so painfully specific in your instructions that you feel like you might as well do it yourself. So they come to us. They're talking with people with deep business experience that sit in our Portland, Oregon office and kind of articulate their needs at a very high level. We'll just get it. We'll document it. We'll train the person on their behalf. And then we do that on an ongoing basis as well.
Interesting. So you're kind of the middleman, and as you said, you act like a manager.
We absolutely are acting like the manager. We are the manager on an ongoing basis. So we're talking with these people day in and day out. Most of the other companies in this space are kind of an out-of-home model or a marketplace where they really are just connecting two people. We believe and have believed from the beginning that in a hyper-connected world, there's very little value in simply connecting two people. You need to add a lot of value for both parties, both the person delivering the work and the person needing the work to be a real company.
So take me back to when you started this business. I know that you were working in corporate America basically until about 2009, right?
Yeah, I'd moved to Silicon Valley and had done a couple, worked with some more hands-on entrepreneurs for a few years before I totally jumped in on my own. But yeah, before that, I'd worked at JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, and Citicorp Securities.
How have those experiences helped you as an entrepreneur?
Well, I think those experiences... they honestly, I don't know how much they've helped me as an entrepreneur. They've helped me in the particular business that I jumped into because those were very structured, polished customer service, professional services environments. And that is what my company does. We're delivering a professional service and we're talking with the sorts of people that come from those environments. So culturally, it helped me. In terms of starting a company, the only way to start to get good at starting a company is to start companies.
Yeah, absolutely. So take me back to that time where you decided I'm going to jump all in, because I know you told me off camera that that's really important to you and that you believe is very necessary to have two feet in if you're going to do anything right. So tell me about what that time was like for you.
Well, it was exciting and scary at the same time. I mean, it's all those cliches, right? Once you cut the cord with your W-2 income, you got to make it. And my company is the same age as my 8-year-old son. so it was a pretty serious period in my life.
Yeah.
So I basically, partially on purpose, put myself into a situation where I would feel like I had very few choices and I kind of had to make it. That's always been the right way for me.
Some people really thrive off of that pressure. Now, I've heard another school of thought that sometimes it's nice to maintain your full-time job and start building your new business on the side so you don't have that pressure, because mm-hmm. some people don't do well under it. But kudos to you for making it happen. Was there a specific time that you knew, okay, now is the time to cut that cord and go all in?
Well, it was kind of a point in my life where, so I'd always wanted to do this. And my wife, my fiance at the time kind of said, hey, if you're going to do it now. So it was just a time we knew we were going to have kids eventually. You know, just
do it before
time.
The responsibility is just piled on.
Yeah.
And on,
I mean,
huh?
You know, it's like, life, what did I heard somebody say something interesting the other day in a commencement speech that was, you know, you got to make sure life isn't one big waiting list. So it was just, you know, it was time to jump in and make it happen.
I like that. So once you did jump in, what were some of the first few steps you took to turn it from an idea to an actual reality and a business?
Yeah, so I got some people together who wanted to work with me, potential partners. We raised a very little bit amount of money so that we had some runway. We put together the basic technology platform and just tried to put together the semblance of a product and started selling it.
So it sounds like you pretty much bootstrapped it. Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, fairly bootstrapped, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I started the company, essentially got our first customers out of our townhouse in Foster City, California, kind of the mid-peninsula center of Silicon Valley. And while my wife was working for a larger corporation and our kid was in daycare half the time and the other half the time in my office.
Oh, I love it. Any advice for bootstrapping in the beginning?
Get out there, sell as soon as you can. Don't sit there imagining what the customer is going to want and creating the product and building the perfect thing, because it's never going to be perfect. And it's always going to be off the mark. It's only a question of how far off the mark. So the sooner you start talking with customers and getting their feedback, the better.
Minimum viable product, as they say, just get it out there, get the feedback. When you say sales, obviously super important. How did you go about it? What was your sales technique?
I felt that this was going to appeal to people who like kind of limited supply, if you will. They like things that are just out of reach for them. So I definitely work to find some super connectors to use the product and talk about it. And you know, I couldn't take a lot of customers in the beginning anyway. So tried to make it feel like something a little bit exclusive.
Did you give the service away for free at all in the beginning, just to get to build some customers?
In the very beginning, I did, but I stopped that pretty quickly. Those people didn't convert. So we're a little bit like a lot of other products, like a gym, for example, where it's kind of like somebody has to put something into it to get something out. And if people aren't spending money, they don't pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. So we found that we needed commitment from them to give them a good service. And so we started charging for it pretty quickly.
Yeah. So it was finding those early adopters who could be your cheerleaders. And have referrals been a big source of marketing for you?
Absolutely. It's still more than 50% of our growth. And I think it will always be at least half.
What's the other percentage?
Yeah, inbound marketing. We have a lot of content on the web. So people are starting to find out about us and contact us.
So a lot of online marketing, like mm-hmm. advertisements and that kind of thing.
Yeah, we don't do a lot of paid now. Our marketing budget is pretty lean on purpose. But if we produce a lot of valuable content, people engage in it and they reach out to us to find out more.
So you yourself have built a strong team. We're going to take a little break and then talk about that when we come back. Also, how you moved your business from the Bay Area to Portland and some of the benefits to doing that. So much more when we come back. We are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
Message and data rates may apply.
Thinking about going back to school? What's keeping you from pursuing your ambitions? A degree from Arizona State University can change the course of your life. Now, with ASU Online, you can access a leading national research institution that delivers the academic excellence you'd expect from one of the world's best universities on your schedule, 100% online. Earning your degree can seem like a daunting prospect, but ASU is committed to your success. In fact, ASU Online has the only dedicated research lab focused on measuring quality and applying research to course design and learning methods. Learn why ASU Online bachelor degrees are ranked in the top 1%. Text DISCOVER to 37913. Learn from the same world-renowned faculty and gain access to the same exceptional resources as on-campus students. If your ambitions begin with going back to school, let ASU help you succeed. To learn more about ASU Online, text DISCOVER to 37913. That's DISCOVER to 37913.
Dr. Stacy Pritt is director of the Institutional Animal Care and Use Committee Office at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center and currently serves as vice president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. She started her career in private practice, then transitioned to a career in biomedical research. She loves doing research that benefits both human and animal patients, as she explains.
So a lot of the research that is done has implications for both human and animal health. If a drug is developed to treat, say, a human cancer, it could potentially be used in animals and vice versa. The real exciting thing about research right now is that there is a growing trend for what's called translational medicine, looking at what we're doing in human health and applying it to animal health.
This pet trend is brought to you by the American Veterinary Medical Association. Visit avma.org to learn about the latest research and other issues that are important to you and your pet. That's avma.org.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making with Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Milberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1769. 855-325-1769. That's 855-325-1769.
The biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. Welcome to Business Rockstars. We are continuing our conversation with Eric Taussig, CEO and founder at Prealto. So some of the best businesses are built when the CEO or founder is their audience themselves, because they had a need and then they created the solution for it. And I know you mentioned that you needed this, you needed the help yourself, you needed to build a team. So tell me a little bit about that pain point for you and how you created the solution.
Yeah, so there's multiple levels of it. So in the beginning, it was like, gosh, you know, I spend a lot of time in a day, in a week, maybe talking to customer service for some product that I'm using, and I have to wait on hold and get transferred around. I could really use somebody to kind of get that done for me and hopefully deal with the problem from end to finish, or at the very least, hot transfer the call to me after they've got the right person on the line. So really simple use cases. What I found is I have a wider use case, which is really kind of understanding, like I said, workflows that I can delegate that create a lot of time. And there I think I'm really, I really look up to Phil Leiben, who said, you know, I'm a really disorganized guy, but I'm going to start an organization company. That's fascinating
Evernote.
To me.
Yeah.
Yeah, Evernote, right? And that's fascinating to me, because you would think, hey, you want to buy from somebody who's really good at something, but actually it turns out that the people who struggle to become good at something are actually better practitioners in the end, or better, have a stronger ability to teach others that skill.
Because they've been there and they know the nuances of those pain points and the struggles, and so they can create a solution accordingly.
Yeah, people that are naturally organized, naturally process-driven are unaware of it, so they're not going to be able to instruct others as well as somebody who's really gone through the pain of consciously learning it.
Yeah. So you alluded to the fact that you've hired people that complement your skills. So maybe they are a little bit better at creating these systems. So tell me a little bit about your team and how it's worked well for you.
Yeah, I look for, like I said, I look for process junkies, people who are almost compulsively unable to allow disorganization to surround themselves, that they just naturally will jump in and make something more organized when they see disorganization. And those people are very complementary to a lot of the executives that we support, who tend to be more ideas people, and tend to be kind of running around at a cadence where they don't have time to even decide, at least in their heads, they don't have time to even decide what they should delegate, let alone take the time to scope that out into the detail necessary to delegate it.
Interesting. So do you use some of these virtual assistants?
Oh, absolutely.
What are some of the things you use them for?
Well, I mean, so scheduling's a big one. There's a lot of artificial intelligence solutions out there for scheduling, but as of yet, they don't have the pattern recognition that a good support person has. So, yes, they can find a hole in your calendar, but there's a lot of signaling and sociology that takes place in scheduling. Do you offer to go to the, you know, the other person's office, or are you having them come to you? Do you want that to be in a quiet coffee shop or someplace loud and fun, that sort of thing? And our assistants can make those sorts of judgments. So scheduling is a big one, making sure data is in the right place. So when I leave a meeting, my assistant is calling me and asking me the questions I should be asking myself about what happened in that meeting and logging that information into our CRM. A lot of times that information implies follow-up that they can do themselves, such as sending a piece of content or putting a reminder to contact that person after a certain amount of time, that sort of thing.
Anything else? Because I think this is really good for our entrepreneurs to know areas that they can outsource that maybe they're not thinking about yet.
Yeah, there's a lot of outreach, kind of social reputation stuff that's very process driven when you think about it and you really break it down. And our assistants are really good at that, along with the what we call the engagement managers, these process junkies that sit in our Portland, Oregon office.
In general, it sounds like you have some really good best practices in mm-hmm. your business. So maybe it's to do with time management or organization or delegation, whatever it is. What are a couple of those things that you go, every entrepreneur needs to implement this into their business?
Well, every entrepreneur needs to learn how to delegate, and some start out as natural delegators because they're kind of these ideas people that can attract talent around them. Some don't start out there. Either way, the act of starting a business can dampen your ability to delegate because you necessarily have to and should touch everything in the beginning. And that process makes you become, if you're not already a hands-on person, makes you extremely hands-on and
makes you good at everything, to a certain extent, with limitations.
To a certain extent, with limitations, yeah.
But it makes you, like you
good
said.
Good at everything, but not great at it.
Yes, that's a really good way of saying it. And I think the temptation is to be like, well, I can do this all myself, but then you're not going to get to that next level of growth. At some point, you got to delegate to free up some time. So what are your tips for being a good delegator?
Well, I would say surround yourself with people that are going to require you to be specific enough so that they can take on the work for you. But the other thing is it's really simple. Don't be penny wise and pound foolish, right? So we often get calls from kind of 20 something entrepreneurs, with a little bit of funding in Silicon Valley, and they think they're doing their investors a service if they save $50 on a airline ticket, you know, that costs $600. In the end, saving that $50, those few extra searches on the web or whatever required another hour, and their time is worth a lot more than that. And their investors would prefer that they're focused on making their product better and getting it to market.
And you have moved to Portland. Was mm-hmm. that a good decision?
Absolutely. It was an amazing decision.
Well, first of all, let's backtrack. What made you move to Portland from the Bay Area?
Well, I just think that Portland today is a better place to run a service company. Ultimately, we're technology enabled, but we're a service company. And Portland is becoming, I believe, kind of a human connections business cluster. So the concept of a business cluster, right, where industries tend to co-locate. It's a little bit counterintuitive. You would think businesses of the same industry would want to be geographically far apart so they're not competing for the same customers and employees. It turns out they tend to cluster, like Hollywood, like Wall Street. And Portland seems to have all these interesting features coming together to become kind of a human connections business cluster.
And in contrast to the Bay Area, what would you say are some of those pros and cons to being in the Bay Area?
Well, the Bay Area is, extremely dynamic. You're exposed to different ideas and challenged all day long. If you can make it in the Bay Area, you can make it anywhere. By what I mean, make it, you've attracted good employees to your company because the competition for talent is fierce.
Oh, okay.
It's great to be in an environment where you're pushed. At the same time, you know, you have to have a high ratio of programmers to business people to really be a viable company long term in the Bay Area right now.
Very interesting. Any last words of wisdom for our entrepreneurs watching and listening?
Words of wisdom, just get out there, meet your customers, believe in your product, build it. Have a peer group that you meet with once a month, but the rest of the time spend with your employees and your customers, because that's what's going to push your business forward.
Love it. Great advice. Thank you so much for your time and for stopping by. Eric Taussig, CEO and founder at Prialto. We are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
Here's an important message for families with a child who rides in a forward-facing car seat with a harness. Make sure you attach the car seat's tether to the car. New research out this week from Safe Kids Worldwide, made possible by Chevrolet, shows that many parents don't know what the tether is or why it's important. Safe Kids Worldwide expert Lori Walker.
The tether is the strap on the back of a forward-facing car seat that secures the top of the car seat to the car. In a car crash or sudden stop, the tether keeps the car seat from pitching forward. You want this added protection for your child because it could prevent a serious head injury.
Parents are encouraged to take time to tether to make sure every child rides safely. If you need help with the tether...
Have you ever wanted to stop the 9-to-5 grind and start your own business? Do you want to have more control of your income? Then now is the time to start and grow a business. Hi, I'm Heather Havenwood, and as a female entrepreneur, I have succeeded, I have bit the dust, I have bounced back to growth and prosperity. But this would not have been possible without first taking the leap and owning my own business. So join me every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern with my show, The Win.
How can Chris be so relaxed when his big interview is today? Because he searched jobs on Glassdoor.com. Out of millions of listings, he filtered by distance and salary to find the job that was right for him. He researched the company on Glassdoor, too. He read employee reviews. He knows they have great medical, even free donut Fridays. So he has nothing to worry about and everything to look forward to. Glassdoor. Find the job that fits your life. Go to Glassdoor.com or download the app today.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370, 800-605-5370, call 800-605-5370.
We're here to inspire
inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars, and I am joined by Samantha Edis. She is a work-life balance expert, speaker, best-selling author, radio show host, so many titles. I'm so happy to chat with you today.
Me too. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks for being here. So have you always wanted to be an entrepreneur?
You know, I always saw my parents and they had their own firm growing up. So I was raised in a home with entrepreneurs and it was never something that scared me. I always thought it was normal to just start your own business and hang up a shingle and go to it.
Oh, you know? That is amazing. What is the main thing that you learned from them?
I think it's just that fearlessness of, you know, you can start your own thing. So I never grew up in like a corporate environment where I saw my parents in different corporate environments. I always saw them creating. Mm-hmm. And I think that helped. And then I really wasn't an entrepreneur until I went to business school. So after college, I spent 5 years working in media. And then I went back to Harvard Business School, graduated. And at the time, it was very unpopular to be an entrepreneur. So when I first graduated, I was the only one in my class.
That's amazing. And sometimes still to this day, people don't quite get it. It's like, oh, you're an author, you're a speaker. Like, I'm not quite sure what's going on here. I know women I've spoken to who have chosen a more unconventional route have said that before. How do you explain that to people and really own your entrepreneur journey?
Yeah, well, at first, when I first graduated, I ran a personal branding firm. And I did that for 5 years. And over that time, I also launched a book series with Random House. And when the books took off, I eventually closed my firm and focused more exclusively on my next 3 books, which I'd committed to with Random House. And then over time, I was still working with a lot of women. And I thought, okay, what's going on here? There were so many women that were struggling in managing their personal and professional lives. And so for the last 6 years, I've just focused exclusively on researching it and working with women and finding the patterns of the most fulfilled and successful women and turning that into a business.
So it sounds like you really turned your passion and your purpose into a business. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So what has been one of the biggest obstacles that you've had to overcome?
I am someone who doesn't see obstacles as permanent. I see them as setbacks and then I keep moving. And I mean, my husband would say I move too fast because I'm just constantly moving. And if something sets me back, I just go in another direction. And I've always kind of been like that. I was a competitive athlete as a child. And I think that that's definitely informed a lot of how I do things. And it's given me a toughness, which is pretty essential in business.
What would you say is your leadership style?
I have very high expectations of myself, and I think that that bleeds into my team as well. But at the same time, I'm very collaborative, and I'm an extrovert, so I like to collaborate and to think out loud, and I really give a lot of power to the people on my team. And because of that, it's really easy for me then to sort of see what's working, what's not working, what their strengths are, and go in a different direction if it's not, you know, if we're not thriving. The other thing that's so important to me, though, is that because we're moving fast as a team, I like to always say if there's a mistake you're making or something's going wrong, just own up to it, apologize, and we'll keep moving. Like, I'm very much like that. So, you know, if I make a mistake, I'm constantly like, I am so sorry. And then we keep moving. And so I try to instill that in my team as well. And I like to have everything out in the open, no passive aggressive culture. It's all about really being open and honest.
This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, joined by Samantha Edis. And tell me, is there an entrepreneur that you really look up to right now?
There are so many entrepreneurs that I have learned from. I've had the pleasure of interviewing hundreds of entrepreneurs and including many of them in my book series in the past. And then for this current book that I just put together, I interviewed a number of entrepreneurs as well. So I would say that there isn't one person that I constantly am looking to for advice. I used to host a talk show that was produced by Gary Vaynerchuk, who's a well-known entrepreneur. And I did learn a lot about social media from him. And I also learned, you know, you end up learning what to do, what not to do from people. And then I worked with Barbara Corcoran, who was in one of my books, and I've always really admired her. And I love Sally Krawcheck, who was a top woman in finance on Wall Street, and now just started the Elevate Network, which is this women's network across the country. And I think she is just extraordinary, and I've learned a ton from her.
Mm-hmm. And you are a work-life balance expert, which so many people want to know more about and struggle with. Tell me what your typical day looks like.
Oh, goodness. I often ask that question to women, and I like to surprise them with it and say, well, what happened in your house this morning? And they'll usually say, well, can I give you a typical morning? And I'll be like, no, this morning. And then you get so many, you know, good stories. But for me, I wake up usually at about 6 o'clock. I work for about 45 minutes, and then I wake up my three kids. My husband and I have a pretty strong routine. He does the breakfast and I get them ready for school, wake them up, deal with any, you know, moody kids who don't want to wake up, and then do their hair and get them downstairs. And then we all go to school together every morning. And then I go to Starbucks and then my day begins and we're off to the races.
After the coffee.
Exactly.
Have the coffee.
It's critical. And that's about 8:10. So by then, I never feel, because I wake up an hour ahead of my kids, I never feel like I'm a step behind. I always feel, you know, very much in control of my day. And that really helps me because I can answer any emails from the night before. I can get all that done before I even wake them. So that makes me feel like, you know, I'm never resentful of that hour and a half in the morning where I'm getting them together and getting them to school because I feel like I've already done a lot of my work.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Then I get them to school and then my day begins. When I'm in town, I travel a lot for work. When I'm in town, though, I try to, because I travel so much, I try to pick them up on those days if I can. So I'll try to make the 3 o'clock pickup, take them to an after-school activity. I have three kids. They're always in three different directions.
Yeah.
So during the day, I'm in tons of meetings, and I often have an evening event to speak at or to go to when I'm in town. So that happens as well. But that time I try to keep clear is from like 3 to 7, so I can just be devoted to them when I'm in town during that time.
So you do feel like you have work-life balance?
Absolutely. I mean, when I'm in town, we have dinner together, our whole family, 5 nights a week at least. And I'm really like, I mean, my husband and I are both a huge part of our kids' lives every day. But at the same time, I feel so grateful that I can spend my days doing something I love and feeling really accomplished and getting a lot done during the day. And then I also have a schedule that allows me to, if I'm traveling for a speech for 2 or 3 days, when I come back, I can, you know, have half days the rest of the week so that I can really be with my kids. And then, you know, when I'm traveling, if I'm in Denver, I'm seeing an old college friend who lives in Denver for dinner after whatever I'm doing during the day with a company. So I really try to make sure that I also have that friend slice of my life in there. And then on the weekends, it's all family focused. And on, you know, Sunday night, we always have another family over for dinner and a play date. And so it's a great way for us to kind of get in our adult friend time, but then also have kid time in the mix.
Yeah, totally.
So that works out well. And then Saturday nights are date nights. So it's kind of like,
you've got a system going.
Yeah. You're very organized.
Yeah.
It's funny. The other day, someone asked me, I was at Charles Schwab and someone was interviewing me in like a fireside chat. And he said, well, the one thing I don't understand is like, where's room for spontaneity? And I was like, okay, buddy, you're 45 years old and you have three kids and a very serious job and a wife. Like, spontaneity is like, well, we don't know what movie we're going to pick until the night of.
I mean, like, so for you, structure is very key to having work-life balance. It's understanding what categories are important to you and having structure.
Yeah, it's so important for me because I think that that's the only way I can make sure I do have the right amount of time with my kids and I do have time for my husband. I do have time for friends. Otherwise, my schedule would kind of eat me alive because I do have so many commitments every day and so many phone calls and things like that. So by being planned out, you know, I always say to working parents, like in the beginning of the school year, you want to put all of your kids' dates in your calendar because that's how you can navigate around them, whether you have a corporate job or an entrepreneurial venture. But that's how we all are, I think, especially as entrepreneurs. They're very unique work-life balance challenges.
Absolutely. How do you hire and keep great talent?
That That's always a struggle. I mean, finding the right people and keeping great talent, I think, especially in this day and age when so many resumes I receive have a zillion jobs and it looks like the person's been hopping from job to job, I think of that as a red flag. But hiring for attitude is far more important to me than hiring for experience. And I think that the times I've made mistakes are when I hire based on a resume and not for attitude or work ethic.
In the example you just shared, is that hard to fire someone when they're not a good fit? Or are you just kind of like, hey, they're not a good fit, I got to move my business forward, so this is what I got to do?
I feel like if someone is not delivering, then you owe it to your business to let them go. And I have had so many entrepreneurial friends who end up keeping someone for too long. And it's not fair to the other employees. It's not fair to the growth of your business. And so it's like I'm running a business and I also have a family I'm responsible to. And it's not a charity, my business. So I can't just keep an employee who's not delivering. And so I think of it that way. I'm an incredibly empathetic person. So I can get overly caught up in why someone is not delivering and what their personal issues are. And so that does come into play. But I think you know when something is going to be a systemic problem or a short-term issue.
So what are your top three tips for new entrepreneurs?
Well, one of the first things is really set your boundaries. I see entrepreneurs that I've worked with really get into trouble when they don't have set hours. So sometimes entrepreneurs think, well, I'm kind of always on, so I'm always off too. Meaning I could go to lunch with a friend or I could volunteer for that board I'm on because they did ask if anyone could do it. And technically I don't have to be at my office from 9 to 5. And so that creates its own problems. And I've seen entrepreneurs really watch their hours just drift away from them. So it's really critical to set those boundaries and act like you live by a train schedule, even if you don't commute. So that's one. And then number two is to really have a network of other entrepreneurs who can support you. There are things that happen to us as entrepreneurs that are far different than your friend who works in corporate America. And so I think having that support system and actually turning it into a book club of sorts of let's meet once a month for dinner and talk and go over what's working for you, what's not working for you. This is a problem I'm having. This is how we can solve it. That really helps. And then the third thing is to realize that you alone are responsible for the growth of your business. And so how you grow it is really essential in terms of mapping out a plan. That doesn't mean a traditional business plan the way we used to think, but really having set goals and then achieving them and constantly making new goals for yourself.
Love it. Thank you so much to my guest, Samantha Edis. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
Message and data rates may apply.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 150 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll learn the same degree as you would on campus from wherever you are on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, text DISCOVER to 35517. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates and why 87% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU online degrees, text DISCOVER to 35517. That's DISCOVER to 35517.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
To inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars. I am joined by Viola Lee. She's a co-founder of Raw Green Organics, and we're going to talk about overcoming obstacles in entrepreneurship today, which there are a lot of them, aren't there? Just yes. A few that you probably encountered. Let's start from the beginning when you transitioned from more of a 9-to-5, maybe it was 9-to-6, 9-to-7 job to starting your business. What was the first obstacle you encountered?
I think the first obstacle is you really need to make a commitment and just go for it. When you start worrying about, well, am I going to get, you know, am I going to start making X amount of dollars? Is it going to come in? Am I going to get it funded within the first month? I mean, that just has to go out the door. You have to make a commitment and just go for it and know that you may or may not have a salary for a while.
I always say that, right? No, I always say that entrepreneurship is so much mental too. You have to maintain your confidence and, you know, it's natural for fear, self-doubt and worries to creep in. But how do you deal with those icky feelings and move past them?
Well, I would have to, if I were to say I woke up every morning thinking, wow, this is, I'm on the top of the world, I'd be lying.
Which is refreshing. So yeah, thanks for being honest.
I'd be lying. There are so many things out there. And as an entrepreneur, sometimes when you start, you don't know what you don't know. So you might think that you have a great plan because you're really good at one thing. And, you know, you never fail. Everything that you plan seems to work out. And you might think that you had a couple backup plans and things are going to work out. But there's always going to be a bump in the road in everything you do. And I think the one thing is to never be afraid of failing, and that's okay, because you have to have thick skin. You'll fail, or someone's gonna say that, you know, that was a stupid idea, or that is completely idiotic, and fine, you know, you take what they have to say, you know, look at it, and there's never any bad advice. All advice is somewhat good advice because it's something that you didn't know before, right? And I think that you just take that and you just keep on going. You can't be afraid to fail.
How do you differentiate the people who are giving constructive criticism and maybe destructive criticism? Because there's a lot of haters out there, right?
Yeah, there is. I mean, people with there are going to be both. People with constructive criticism are going to give you criticism on a product, and they'll tell you why. Because of these four things.
And they have your best interest in mind.
They have your best interest, right? Definitely. And their views may or may not be wrong. Or they might be right. I'm not sure. But you should definitely take them into consideration. And then there are people who just tell you, well, that's stupid. But why? And they're just maybe writing you off because it's not important to them or they don't find that it's interesting. So, you know, there's something for everyone and not everyone's going to be interested in what you do.
And going back to the failure part, it sounds like a lot of it's just perspective. Instead of seeing it as, oh, shame on me, I made a mistake. It's like, okay, I can learn from this, right?
And definitely. So if you're in a job before where you might have been the A-plus student, A-plus employee, and you're always, you know, going through projects and you were the best of the best and you always did it well. But sometimes it's different when you don't have as many resources. You have to make do with what you have. And things are not going to be perfect. You may not have a perfect business plan the first time around. And a business plan always, God, it's always changing. It's always changed like a moving target. So when you fail, it's just, it happens.
Just pick yourself back up and keep moving forward.
Pick yourself up and keep on going, because if you believe in something, then that's all that matters. Just keep on going for it. And that's what's going to drive you.
Yeah. And you've known a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs who have started and then all of a sudden it was like, whoa, this is a lot harder, takes a lot more work than I thought. Would you say that that's true, that it is harder than people think?
Well, it definitely is, because when you're starting out, you might not have all the team members that you need. You know, maybe there might be like four people or five people. And let's say you need the creative person, but we don't have the creative person. We need the salesperson, the marketing person. And you're not going to be able to do that. So as an entrepreneur, you're going to have to wear multiple hats. And a lot of times when you're great at being a team player or great at being an executor, sometimes you have to step aside and be more of a mentor for your other team members. And that can be harder at times.
Do you think it's possible for entrepreneurs to have it all, to have a thriving work and home life?
I think it's possible, and it definitely takes the support of your spouse or your significant other or other people in your life, definitely. And I have, you know, the support of my husband, so it's great.
Yeah, and so your business has been in business for many years now. You guys are growing rapidly. Mm-hmm. What's been the main obstacle you've experienced as you've been growing?
I think that we were growing and we were okay with, you know, growth, small growth, you know, here and every year, and we're doing fine. And then we got to a point where we said, you know, we really need something that's going to give us a jump to the next level. And I think that that's kind of where we are now. And we're going to go through a process of a little bit of a brand refresh, taking into consideration, looking at the marketplace and what's out there, incorporating a lot of the Ayurvedic type herbs that have been selling separately. We're trying to incorporate into a lot of our protein foods, so that can be taken by people easily. They're getting the functional benefits of the herbs and the vitamins and the proteins.
What has been a challenge with being a boss and managing other people?
Well, so a lot of it's just everyone has a personality and everyone's got their own personality, and you just have to work with it. And a lot of things, I think that my goal is to make sure that everyone on my team is successful, because their success is going to contribute to my success. I cannot be successful unless every single one of them is successful. So my job is really to make sure that they have everything they need and all the tools and all that they need to get their job done. So a lot of the times, well, I might just say, God, I'm just going to do it myself because I can get it done. But that doesn't work that way. You know, you really need to give your team members a lot of, autonomy. I mean, there is some structure, but autonomy allows them to be more creative in what they do.
Totally. Thanks so much to my guest, Viola Lee. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.
Business Rockstars.
After this short break, more Business Rockstars.
Attention hernia mesh implant surgery patients. A popular hernia surgery product has been linked to a high rate of complications and injuries. If you or a loved one had a surgery where a hernia mesh was implanted and have experienced any of the following: pain, infection, adhesions, mesh migration or product rejection, needed replacement or revision surgery, or other adverse reactions, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Hernia mesh patch implants are used for repairing most common types of abdominal hernia, which occurs when muscles or connective tissue in your abdomen are damaged or weakened. If you have had a hernia mesh implant and suffered an injury, time is limited to file a claim. Act now. Call for more information about the recall and a free consultation. Don't be a silent victim. Call 800-748-8410. 800-748-8410. 800-748-8410.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Biz Talk Radio.
We'll be right back.